Okay, we're in Parak Yutzes Nilchos Ishus. We left off Halacha Tazayin, and now we're going to wrap up a few of the halachas that have to do with what daughters are able to their mizonos that are attached to them based on whether they're married, divorced, and what age they are. So those are the last few halachas that Rama picks up in Parak Yutzes. So Halacha Tazayin, he says Nisei Sabas. Let's say a daughter gets married, Umiyana, right, and she did Miyun on his garsho, on his almana, or she got divorced, or she became an almana, meaning her husband died. Afilu hi shomeres yovam, even if she's in a situation where she's supposed to marry, her brother-in-law, because of yibum, hol v'chazal beis avia. Now, in this situation, remember, she's very young. Let's say she gets married, let's make it simple, and the man she marries dies, but she's still very young. V'chazal beis avia, and she goes back to her father's house, v'adayin lo bagra, and she's still not at age, I mean, she's still a katana. Harezu nizonas mnechsi avia. So she goes back to actually being supported from her father, ad shetivgor o shetisaris, until she gets either old enough or she gets, meaning kedushin, meaning getting remarried. So in that situation, there is a scenario where even though she stopped getting mizonos because she got married, there's actually a situation where she can return back to getting mizonos all over again. Halachi yad zayin, mishameis. Okay, so let's say someone dies. Okay, now he has sons and daughters. So if we recall, remember there's the Doraisa of Yerusha, which first passes through the sons. And there's also the issue of Mizonos for daughters. So again, you're going to see the kind of a clash here between those two institutions. So let's say a guy dies and he has sons and daughters. V'niach banim banos. Yerusha banim kol nechasim. So the sons inherit all the assets. V'heim zananas achyoseim. And then they'll have to supply and support their sisters, assuming their sisters are very young, so basically they're responsible for providing mizonos to their sisters until either they become of age or they get married. Now, so this basically applies when there's enough money in the estate to actually support both the sons and the daughters, meaning there's enough in there that the sons can survive and the daughters will be able to survive as well through assistance from the sons. If such a thing exists, until the daughters are old enough, if such a thing exists, this is called literally like a large estate, a large amount of property. But once there's not enough in the estate to support both of them, so then what we do is that we go ahead and take the money that's supposed to support the daughters until they're of age, we set that to the side. The nosin is shalabanim, and anything that's remaining is given over to the sons. V'main sham elakadei mazon abanos bavad, right? And let's say there's only enough in the estate to support the daughters alone. Habanos bilvad, habanos nizonos mehen, they'll be supported from that. Achi avguru, od achis arsu, v'abanim yishalo al psachim. So it's interesting, the daughters would get the sustenance they need, and the sons are basically left begging, going door to door, begging for money for tzedakah to stay alive. So if the estate only has enough left to provide for the daughters, they get that money, and the sons are stuck, so to speak, going house to house begging for money. Halacha yedches, now bedvar morim, bishiniach karka. This only applies in a situation where we're talking about actual property and real estate. Ava imeniach metatalin, let's say the estate only has in it movable items, movable assets. So if we recall, the Gaonim made a takana, she has zunu habanos min habitatalin. So meaning it wasn't a traditional derabanan, rather the Gaonim later on decided as a takana that the daughters should be, their mizonos can come from mitatalin. Therefore, hare habanim habanos nizonos ka'achas min nechasim ha'elu hamu'atim. Right? So therefore, what would happen in the situation where the father only left mitatalin? Then the sons and daughters split the metaltalin in half. Shelo tiknu lahem b'metaltan elakashiu kibanim ukazel haragonim. And the reason why is basically when it comes to metaltalin, the intention of the gaonim was not to make the banos superior to the banim. So in this situation, they would split the assets. So it's only in the case of karka where the daughters would, so to speak, get more than the sons. But in the case of metaltalin, they would not have that. Alach yates. Hiniach karka. Okay, so let's say the father leaves over land, vayu nechasim rubin, and it's a very wealthy estate that he left over. V'nismatu, Okay, acharkein, kvar zachu b'hen yorshim. So even though, let's say the value of the estate went down, it was worth a lot, and then it decreased in value, the yorshim already basically have bialis, have ownership over the assets. Now, hayu mu'ata mishas mita, misa, let's say the assets were very small value at the time of the father's death, v'nis rabu acharkein, habanim yorshim son, and it goes up in value, then the yorshim are able to inherit that. And even if the value did not go up, okay, if the sons went ahead and sold the estate to what it called, that was very small amount of money, that sale would actually be a good sale. So if they go ahead and sell the estate, since the estate is worth very little, I'm not getting into what that actual monetary amount is, selling it would not be a problem insofar as Yerusha is concerned. Halacha chaf. Now, hayuna chasim Reuben. Let's go back to, again, the wealthy estate. It's a very, very wealthy estate. The yeshalav chov, but there's an outstanding debt against the value of the estate. O shehisna im ishto, or he made a deal with his wife, sheyazun as bita, and that he would basically support his daughter, who had actually already been married previously, so he's going to return back to helping her out with zonos. Ein achov, the lo mezonos bas ishto, matim in chasim. Right? So what's important is that the chov, nor the amount of money that was set aside to help out his daughter, okay, neither of those take away from the value of the assets. Ela yirshua banim akol. Rather, the banim inherit everything. The yitnu lebal chov chovo, and then the yorshim will take what's owed to the creditors and give the creditors the debt. The azuno bas eshes avian, or they would also support the daughter again, who had already been married, but now the father promised to support her again. Ads man shapasak, until whatever time they decided this would end. And of course, they had to continue supporting their younger sisters until they become of age or until they get married. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Okay, so let's say the man dies and he leaves a widow, ubas mimena, o miisha acheres, okay? And he leaves a daughter either from this widow or from a different wife. V'ein b'nechasim k'dei she'azunu shtein. So now we have a problem. There's not enough value in the estate and the assets to provide for both, meaning he can only give sustenance. It's either going to be for, well, I wouldn't say either or, but basically there's not enough to provide sustenance for both the almana and the bas. So what's the halacha? Ha'almana nizonos, the bas tishal psachim. So unfortunately, the widow gets the financial support and the daughter's left going from house to house begging for money. And now the Rambam extrapolates and says, "V'chein ani omer." And the Rambam, this is his own svara. He wants to say, "Shemizonos abas komen liyrusha sabein." Okay, k'suvas imo shemesa v'chai aviv. So interesting halacha. So the mizonos owed to the daughter, right, take precedence over the yerusha that a son has of the k'suva of his mother. Remember, we're dealing both here with derabanans. Okay, but again, the Rambam maintains that if there's a choice, or if there's only one or the other, the daughter will be supported from the funds of the estate prior to the ben being yoresh, the ksuva of his mother. Why? Even though both of them are conditions that exist in the ksuva. So we have two concerns or two conditions that are in the ksuva, and the Rambam is saying one takes precedence over the other. Why? Kal v'chomer advarim. So he says it's a kal v'chomer. Uma im nidche yirusha shel Torah im nebizono sabas. Right? So if we see the halacha is that we're able to push aside the Yerusha of Daraisa in order to provide sustenance for daughters, lo sidcha Yerusha saksuva shitanai bezdin, the name is Mizonos Abbas. So if the Daraisa of Yerusha is pushed aside from Mizonos Abbas, even more so to say that the Yerusha of the Ksuba, which is a Darabanan Tanai, certainly would be pushed aside for the sake of the Mizonos of the Bas. And finally, Allah Chabez, Mishames, if a man dies, v'niach banos gedolos uktanos, and let's say he has both older daughters and younger daughters. V'lo hiniach ben, and he has no son. He didn't leave a son. Ein omrim yazuno haktanos ad shiyavguru v'yechelu shar nechasim b'shava elakulon cholkos b'shava. So we don't say that we'll provide sustenance and provide mizonos for the smaller girls, okay, until they get old enough, and then split up the estate in half. Excuse me, split up the estate evenly. Rather, what we say is that we split the entire estate evenly, even though there are very, very young daughters. Okay, that ends Perek Yates. Okay, Perek Chaf is going to take up what's called in Hebrew the Parnassa, and in English is known commonly as the dowry. So obviously, since this is a halachic institution, there's going to be differences. But there's no question it comes from that area of a dowry. And that's what basically this entire parak deals with. Okay, so parak chaf halacha aleph. Tzivu chachamim, there's a mitzvah, there's a chiyuv derabanan. Sheyitein adam minachasav me'at levito kadesh shetinaseba. So basically the halacha is that a father is required to take from his assets a certain amount of money that's set aside for his daughter for her to get married. Vezehu anikra parnasa. This is called parnasa. Okay, what we would call a dowry, luckily it's called a parnasa. Okay, so hamesi as bito stam. Okay, so if a man marries off his daughter, so to speak, lo yifchos la mechsus sheposkon eishas ani shvishal kamosh biyarna. So what's the minimum shear? The minimum shear, and you'll see the qualification in a second, the minimum shear is that he must give her at least the outfits, all right, that is given to the wife of a poor Jewish male. Okay, that's the minimum dowry. Of course, medvar morim b'she haya of ani. This is if the father's poor. About im haya ashir, and we'll get into this later, if the father is wealthy, ha'rezer roi li ten lakafi oshros. And of course, what must he do? As we've seen in all these cases, he must give the parnasa, enough of the parnasa that reflects his actual value. Okay? Halacha beis. Now, pirei shalabal. So let's say the father tells his future son-in-law, she'en laklum, okay, that, guess what? My daughter's not getting anything. No parnasa. Okay, because what it called? Because basically, what's his intention? His intention is that he wants her to get married, even though she has no clothing. Okay, but what he can't say is that the Baal can't now say when this takes place that, you know what, I'll give her clothing once she moves in with me. Rather, as long as she's living in her father's house, okay, and this is after Erison, he must go ahead and provide her with ksus, okay, so with some basic wardrobe. So if the father refuses to provide any type of parnasa, the Baal in this case would have to step in. Okay, halacha gimel, ha'av shemes. Now let's say the father dies, v'niach bas, okay, and he leaves, let's say, a son, and as you'll see, it has to be a son and a daughter, okay. Omnim daito, this is very interesting. Omnim daito kamahaya belibo litein la leparnasasa benosin la. So literally what this means is that we estimate what the father would have given his daughter for the parnasa. Okay, now how could they know that? Uminain yodin omdon daito. How could you possibly know what the father's thinking before he died? Like, how would you know such a thing? So this is very interesting. They launched like an investigation. Okay, so basically, how do you come to the conclusion? So you actually study his behavior, okay? Mireya, from his friends, umiyoda, people know him, umimaso, and from his business dealings, umatano, ukvodo, and basically his social status. Okay, so basically by doing some sort of, in today's terms, background check on the guy, we'll find out kind of how much parnasa he wanted to give his daughter. V'chein im hisi bas b'chayav omdem ba. And so too, if he marries off a daughter while he's alive, we do the same thing. Okay, v'im lo yadulo beiz, v'im lo yadulo beizin omdom das nosin la minachasav ish la parnasasa. Okay, and if we're unable to know exactly how to work this out, so what's the backup or what's the stam parnasa? Stam parnasa is a tenth. Okay, so a tenth of his nechasim is what will go towards the parnasa. So if you're unable to calculate it, and this Easter is going to come up again, the stam amount is a tenth. So what's the normative shear of a parnasa? It's a tenth of the asset value of the father. Okay? Halacha dalet. Let's say he has a lot of daughters. Okay? Hiniach banos rabos. He's got tons of daughters. Okay? Kol shetavo lehinase nosem la isra nechasam. Okay? So basically, the first of the daughters who get married gets a tenth of the estate. Okay? Ushalacharea isra masha shayara rishona. Now, of course, the next daughter to get married will also get a tenth of the estate, but that tenth will obviously be smaller than the original tenth. So there's an advantage of getting married first in terms of the parnasa. And of course, the next daughter to get married also will get a tenth of the remaining estate. Now, let's say they all come to get married at the same time. Rishona notelas isur. Okay. So then that the oldest would end up getting the tenth, and then a shnia isur mashia rishona, the shlishis isur mashia rishnia. So this would go in order of age. The first would get a tenth, and then the second would get the tenth of the remaining, etc. Vehenafilu hein eser, even if they're ten. V'chozos v'cholkos kol ha'isurim b'shava yishran echasim l'achim. If there are actually 10 daughters who all basically come to get married at exactly the same time, we go ahead and pool everything together, and they divide the tenth of the estate up evenly, and the remainder of the estate is given to the son. So in this case, again, a situation where you had banim also, in this case, the parnasa would get divided up first, and then anything remaining would go to the banim as Yerusha. Halacha hey. Now, Iser Zeh Shehu LaParnasa, this idea of the tenth of the estate that goes towards the Parnasa, Eino Mitnai Ksuba. It's actually not one of the things that you'll find in a Ksuba. Lefika Chafilu Takanas Achronim, even when it comes to later Takanas by Chachamim, Eino Nitzal Ela Min HaKarka. Okay? You can only collect the Parnasa from land, from property. The Yeshla Legabos Iser Zeh Mischiras HaKarka. You can actually, though, collect the value, the tenth that you're trying to achieve from the nechassim, even from renting out the property. So it doesn't have to actually be from the sale of the property. And now if, let's say, her brothers want to go ahead and give money instead of selling off the land to provide her tenth of assets for her parnasa, they're able to do so. They're able to do so in that situation. Okay, so when it comes to the tenth of the nechassim that the daughter gets for her parnasa, kibal chov shel achin hi. Okay, this considered like she, in a sense, she's considered to be a creditor. Okay, because remember, bal chov is a debt owed. It's like a debt owed from her brothers. So she's a creditor to her brothers. Lefikach notelus oso min habeinonis below shvua. That's why she's allowed to collect it from. Now, if you recall, there's different qualities of property. There's really good, inferior, and then just right, or right in between. She's able to take from only from the Beinonis property without a shvua. However, the Mesu Achin, okay, let's say her brothers died. Notelis oso mi b'neim, she's able to collect from their sons, meaning her brothers' sons, which would be her nephews, min haziboris uvishvua. She can only take from the inferior one. So remember, from the three types of land, she can only collect based on the worst type of property with a shvua. Why? Sharehi nifras menichse yisomim. Because at this point, she's collecting from, not from her brothers, but from their yorshim, okay? The bali farea menichse yisomim, lo yifre elamina ziboris v'shua. And there's an axiom, which we'll see later on, that you can only collect, when it comes to collecting from inheritors, you can only collect from you can only collect from ziboris, which is the most inferior type of karka, along with a shvua, kemoshi yisbar b'hilchos lavaz. So when we get to malva v'love, we'll see exactly how this system works. Similarly, Lacha Zayin, V'achim Shemachro or Meshachno Karka Aviyam. So let's say the brothers went ahead and let's say, for instance, they sold off the property to somebody else. Habas Terefes Min Alekuchos Parnasasa. So the daughter is able to go ahead and it's almost like there's a lien now. The daughters can go ahead and collect and demand the Parnasa money from the people that the land was sold to. K'derech Shetofum Kol Balechobos Min Alekuchos. Like any other debt that you can get repaid back to you, Kamoshi's barb Hilchos Lava. The Rambam is going to explain this as well, in Hilchos Malve Velove. Allah Chachas. Now, Misha Hissi, Banos, Gedolos, okay? Let's say a man married off a bunch of his older daughters, okay? Venisharok Tanos, and he's got some younger daughters remaining. Umes Belobain, and he dies without a son. Ein Notlin Parnasa Liktanos, Ve'achrakach Kolkos Hanechasim, Ela Cholkos Kulon Meshave. So see, similar to what he had before, in this situation, if he had no sons, we don't say that he takes the Parnasa from the estate for the Ketanos, okay, and then divides the remaining assets up between the daughters. Rather, no matter if they're older or daughter, they all split the assets up evenly after he dies, assuming he didn't have a son. Halacha Tes, Mi Shemes V'niach Shtei Banos, Uben. Let's say someone dies and he leaves behind two daughters and one son. V'kadma rishona, okay, and what happens? The v'nutla iser nechasim, okay. So the first daughter comes along and she takes the tenth owed to her for her parnasa. V'lo hispika hashniya legabos ad shemes haben, right? But the younger daughter had not collected the parnasa due to her, okay. And then what happens? The son dies. V'naflu kol nechasim l'shteyan, and now all the remaining assets go to both daughters. Ein hashniya notelas isor. The second daughter does not get to take a tenth of the estate. Ela cholkos b'shaveh. Rather, they divide the assets up evenly. V'zachza rishona b'isra shalah. And whatever, the older sister, because she got there first, is able to keep the parnasa that she collected from the beginning. I mean, we don't penalize her by taking away the parnasa that she collected. The lacha yud. Now, misha tziva b'shas misa. Let's say a guy right before he dies says as follows. Al tirfarnasu b'nosai b'nichsai shomilo. If he says, I don't want my daughters to get anything, any parnasa from my estate, I don't want my daughters to get anything from my estate, we listen to him. Okay, we actually can listen to him. Why? Shein zeh b'tanai ksuva. If you remember, and normally the father cannot, or a baal also cannot get rid of tanai ksuva. In this situation, since it's not tanai ksuva, the father can actually say, I do not want my daughter to have a parnasa. Okay? Halacha yad aleph. Misha meis v'niach almana. Let's say someone dies and he leaves an almana. Ubas. Okay? And a daughter. Kvar b'yanu shemizonos almana komu mizonos abas. We've already explained that the mizonos for the almana come before the mizonos for the daughter. V'chein, so too, im nisei sabas, right, if she gets married, the daughter gets married, eino notelas isur nechasim ne mizonos almana. So if the daughter gets married, she cannot take the parnasa from the mizonos that was set aside for the almana. Okay, that's off limits. V'afilu mesa habas achar she niseis, right, even if the bas dies after she gets married, eino baal, her husband, would not be able to yorish parnasa haru'uya li nasan la. He would not be able to, he would not be able to be yorish the parnasa that was owed to her, right? Sharei nechasim kumam vecheskas almana shetehen mizonos behem. Because all the nechasim are basically under the control of the almana because she's getting mizonos from them. Halach yud beis, ketana yisoma. Okay, so let's say you have a girl who's an orphan. Shesiyasa ima oachea ledaita, okay? And she's orphan here means she has no father. And she's married off by her mother or her brothers, okay? With her consent, okay? Vinastula mea ochamishim zuz, right? And she's given either, let's say, 100 or 50 zuz for parnasa. Yecholahi mishatakdil lehotzi miyadam parnasa riyula. So what she's able to do is she's allowed to collect this parnasa owed to her when she gets older. Or, oh, be'omdam dasa of, or if they estimated how much the father would have given, oh, Easter karkos, that, or a tenth of the property. Da'afilu lo hayu achin zananosa, even if her brothers aren't actually supporting her. Da'afapish lo miches b'shas nisuin, even if she, what it called, she did not object, so to speak, to get married at the time that she was getting married as a katana, meisha katana ina bas macha. Because ultimately, a katana, and this is a general rule when it comes to Beis Din, she's not able to go ahead and protest such a thing in Beis Din, which we'll also get to a little bit down the road. Okay, Lach Yud Gimel. Okay, Nisei Sabas Acha Shegadla. Let's say a daughter marries after she gets older, Beinara Ben Bogeris, Vilo Tava Parnasasa, of the Parnasasa. So when she gets married, if she doesn't ask for her Parnasa, she loses out on her Parnasa. The miches be'ez nisueha. Okay, let's say she protested once she got married. Then in that situation, harizu motzia esa ro'ila kolz machatirza. Then she's able to go ahead and collect the parnasa at any time she wants. Okay, bagra ve'oda be'ez avia. Let's say she reaches, she comes of age and she's still in her father's house. Bein shabagra achar moso, bein shenicha bogeres. Whether she reaches bagras after he dies, or he died when she already was a Bogeris, in Pasku Acham Mizonosea, if the brothers had stopped supporting her, Sharei Ein La Mizonos Kamo Shebiarnu, because she doesn't get Mizonos anymore, like we said, when she hits that age, Vishaska, she doesn't say a single word, Vilo Tava Parnasasa, and she doesn't demand her Parnasa, of the Parnasasa. She also would lose out on her Parnasa. Then Miches, but if she protests, Lo of the Parnasasa, then she would not lose out on the Parnasa. Now, lo pasku ha'achin mizonoseya. Let's say her brothers are still supporting her. Vizanu osa bebegar. Okay. And then what happens in the situation? She reaches bagris and they're still supporting her. She's not considered someone, she's not considered someone who loses out on the parnasa. Afish lo miches lo of the parnasasa kolz man shehin zanin osa. Okay, so as long as they're supporting her, she doesn't, even if she didn't actually protest or not, at the end of the day, as long as they're supporting her, she can still collect her parnasa. She yesh la litan, because she can always claim, because they're supporting her, Af bish in a chayav, and they're not chayav to support her anymore. Via dying lo nisei, since she hasn't got married, nezeh lo tava parnasasa. So why didn't she try and collect her parnasa? Because her brothers are still supporting her, and they weren't obligated to. So since she's getting this money, and they weren't obligated to support her, she can still collect her parnasa later on. And finally, we'll end off here, lach yudalad, mishat siva liten levito kachakach maos parnasasa. Let's say basically what happens is that a father says before he dies, and again, this is a similar to the thing when it comes to matana here. There's a situation where he's giving like an oral instructions of how his estate should be dealt with. He says that what should be given to his daughter? Kach v'kach mosa parnasa. This amount of money should be used for her parnasa. Likach behen karka, right? To go ahead and purchase property. Bein shahaya shrivmera, bein shahaya bari v'meis, whether he was basically about to die or he was healthy and then died. Varei mos biad hashalish, right? And the money is in a third party. V'amra habas, and the bas says, nu os on the baili, right? And she says, give the money to my husband. Kol mashi yirtza yaseh behen, okay? And whatever he wants, do. Im haisa gedola v'nises harishas biada. If she was a gedola when she got married, then she's allowed to do such a thing. V'madayim mu'reses, but let's say she's only in the state of kiddushin. Yaseh shlish mashi hoshlosh biado. So then the person holding the funds, the third party, so to speak, should do as he was instructed. However, Vima Dain Katana, if she's still very young, Vima Dain Katana, Afilu Nises, if she got married, Ain Shomelo. We don't listen to her, any of her instructions about her husband, Eliyase Shlish Kamosha Siva of. Rather, the third party also must continue following the father's instructions, right before he died. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll